Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Used to wet the bed, but now he doesn't. So let's have a slumber party.
Hello, my lovely slumber party listeners. It's your host, Tim Murray. And I'm here with a very, very special guest today. One of my favorite human beings to ever walk the face of the earth. You know him from Broadway. He's a Broadway star now. Please welcome to the stage Hugh Jackman. Hugh, how are you today?
I'm doing all right, mate.
Oh, that was pretty good.
Not bad, actually.
That was pretty good. I can't do an Australian to save my life.
Well, Australian can sometimes become New Zealand, which can sometimes become South African, and there's subtle differences, but I know that my Australian friends would actually think my accent's quite terrible, but I think it's not half bad.
I think that's pretty good, but you are triggering me to Drag Race Down Under, which is really just a hard, horrible thing.
Not good.
It was really deeply not good. You didn't watch that with me?
I think I watched bits and pieces with you. Oh, I'm also not Hugh Jackman, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
In case you guys were wondering.
This is not Hugh Jackman. This is actually my gay boyfriend, Michael Bullard. Thanks for joining me, sweetie pie.
Oh, thank you. That was us kissing like gay boyfriends.
We're gay boyfriends. You guys, we just had our 5-year anniversary.
Whoa, 5 years.
It's kind of magical.
That's half a decade.
That's a long fucking time.
It's a long time to tolerate one person.
It really is. And I would say we're doing better than tolerate.
Oh, yeah. I
kind of love you.
I'm like really unhealthily obsessed with you, actually.
Oh, come on now, honey.
Come on.
You and everybody else.
Oh, gosh. Get in line, everybody, after me.
Honey, they're down around the block right now. Mm-hmm. Just Tim Murray,
Yeah, they're chanting out our window. The feedback's terrible.
It's really bad. Really bad. I'm about to get on the balcony and just, it won't be easy, you'll think it's straight.
Yeah. When you build that balcony, let me know.
honey, if you build it, they will come.
Yes, they will come.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say hello. Hello.
Hello, hello. Hello. I'm really tired. Thrilled to be here, but I have been teaching all day long.
Girl, I've been puttering and doing projects around our home all day long, so I'm a sleepy Susan as well, and I'm still kind of on East Coast time.
You don't seem sleepy at all. You seem extremely alert, mm-hmm. energized, mm-hmm. ready for the gig.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fake. That's fake news that you're hearing. And as soon as we're done recording this, I'm going to fall asleep on this table.
You better not, because we have planned after this to watch The Humans.
I know. You know, I think I'll take a shower to try to wake myself up more.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because I have to upload this podcast after we talk. Okay, so The Humans, I'm very excited about it.
Oh, yeah, you're making me watch a play.
Famously refuses to watch plays. He only watches his musicals.
Listen, people. If there's not a reason to sing, why are we telling the story?
Get out of my face. William Shakespeare is rolling in his grave right now.
Yeah, and he should be rolling around being like, damn, I should have wrote musicals.
You are so foul. Okay, speaking of William Shakespeare, Stephen Sondheim passed away this week.
Yeah, the Shakespeare Musical Theater.
Seriously, I'm really excited to dive into that with you because I want to talk about our favorite Sondheim songs and shards.
Sondheim songs and shards.
Songs and shards.
Shards.
My favorite Sondheim shards.
Yeah. Oh, you really get the Cockney.
Oh, I'm a good girl. I am. I want to be a lady.
Bag of chips are stunning. Bag of chips are skirt.
Okay, literally, if there's anything that just constantly is in my head, it's bag of chips is stunning. Bag of chips is class.
Is class. I don't know the lyrics.
Yeah, you said skirt.
Well, I don't know, so I just made a loud sound on pitch.
Yeah, we got that.
Don't need to know the lyrics when you can belt high.
Tell that to Patty the Pone, honey. Oh. That's her whole thing. She said, I'm on a whole right now. She does not give a fuck. She's like, I love Sondheim, amazing composer. Doesn't care about his words.
Doesn't care about the words. It's about getting that foghorn sound out.
I'm obviously joking. You know, Patty is my one true queen, and she is such an amazing Sondheim performer.
She is.
But before we get into the Sondheim of it all, let's talk about...
Where were you when you found out?
I'm so mad at you. Are you implying that Sondheim dying is the 9/11 of 2021? Everyone will remember where they were when they found out. Because it was 3 days ago, and I already don't remember where I was.
I actually don't know where I was either.
Well, because let's be honest, the man was in his 90s.
I think I was scrolling on my phone.
That's how I found out.
In some nondescript location.
More people alerted me when Cynthia Erivo was cast in Wicked than people texting me about Sondheim. He was old.
He
lived
91.
A long, beautiful life and created a lot of great, amazing stuff.
Yeah, I think there wasn't like an... illness that we had heard of that people can like start to mentally prepare for this icon's passing. He just died of old age.
Being old. Okay, but before we get into that, we're gonna watch The Humans. I'm really excited. Okay. This is a Broadway play that I love, love, love. I saw on Broadway and then I read the play as well because I was so obsessed
with
it.
Read it too?
You're so dumb.
That's so boring.
Oh
my
God.
It's more boring than seeing it.
You are so whack. You don't care about culture.
No, I care about Pokemon.
Oh my God.
But you suffered through the play and then you really suffered reading it.
You're such a joke. I loved the play and then I loved reading it. And then I tried to take you to the play. Oh. My brother got us tickets on the wrong night. And
air
then
quotes, ladies and gentlemen, air quotes.
Gave me the tickets because he had already gotten them on the wrong night. So he couldn't see it because he doesn't live in New York City. And he thought he got them for when he was in New York City, but he actually got them for a different night. And then I believe what happened is he told me again the wrong night. So then we also missed the play.
Oh, that's what happened?
I can't fully remember because this was...
I remember there just were no tickets. Like, the purchase was not successful.
Is that what happened?
And they had, like, no record of any purchase of his. And you were like... Fuck, my brother fucked up. You were so mad. You were so frustrated.
I was really mad.
You were A, at your brother, but then also, like, you know, that you were bringing me there to no avail. Like,
yeah, we'd gone into Times Square, which you don't really want to do, and we were very newly dating.
Yes.
And, yeah, that was a whole to-do. That was a real bummer. Okay, so now we're going to get to watch it with Amy Schumer in it. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited about that. Also, let's start with another good one, and then we'll go to the bad. We watched Tick, Tick, Boom.
Oh, yes.
Fucking incredible.
Yeah, and you actually set my expectations a little low. Just as you said, this was Jonathan Larson's like first like successful musical that actually...
Not even successful. It literally...
Just got produced, or...
Well, it was just at New York Music Theater Workshop.
Oh, okay.
So it was like... It didn't even get produced, I don't think. Well, unless you count that as a production. But I think it was like a one-night-only show.
Oh.
And then that being like a well-done show is what like led to Rent. And then producers picked up Rent. But like it literally wasn't even like fully produced in his lifetime. They produced Tick, Tick, Boom after Rent had been running on Broadway.
Interesting.
Off-Broadway. They produced Tick, Tick, Boom. And I did it in... college. I love it so much. The music is so good. The book for the play is not very good, but it has so much heart. That's what I said to you. I love it. Like, it's not bad by any means. It's just not... I wanted to set your bar low because, you know, it would never like made it to Broadway. You know what I mean?
Well, this iteration they did in this filmed version...
Incredible.
The whole thing. I never had like a questioning moment. I loved the story. I loved the way it was told. I loved Lin's direction.
He did such a good job. It's like so frustrating how good he is at so many things.
Oh my God. Andrew Garfield was so good, engaging and endearing.
So good. Sounded great.
And oh yeah, everyone. I loved the Broadway star cameos sprinkled throughout.
Oh my God, so fun.
That was so great.
It was really, for a story that could be told like badly, like anytime you're talking about HIV, I think in a show or movie it could be very heavy-handed and it's not always successful. it's not always successfully, like, what am I trying to say? It's not always successfully, like, showing how hard that was on our community in the 80s and 90s. Mm. And I thought this was, like, just told so beautifully. And also the whole story of a person who is choosing between being an artist and a corporate person is, like, so many stories are told about that. And yet it felt fresh and great and exciting. And you're so with his character the whole time. They, like, showed the ugly truths about Jonathan Larson. You know, he's, like, a little cocky at points, mm-hmm. saying he's, like, the future of musical theater. It just really, like, I felt like encapsulated a whole three-dimensional human being.
Yeah, they didn't shy away from, like, the good, bad, and ugly. Like, we are all of those things all at once. We're not exclusively good or exclusively bad at any given time. We're constantly ebbing and flowing throughout those behaviors and choices and patterns. And it was really human in that way. And it enriched the story, and it was just great storytelling.
It really was.
Yeah. Really fun, great music, like, too. Like,
yeah.
Just all solid. And you could also, it was kind of beautiful to see the groundwork for Rent. Like, you could see some of, like, this is a musical that's really, like, the workshop, like, you know, trial run for some of the structure of the Rent.
Totally.
Score that we all are really fucking obsessed with.
Yeah. And then I think if you were, like, a real Rent head in high school like I was, you got this album. Mm-hmm. And then I, like, really tore through this one as well. Like, yeah. I just, like, really made, like, Bryce, my high school friends, like, get in the car with me, and we would just jam out to Tick, Tick, Boom. Like, oh, yeah, the first song, 3090, and then the last song, Actions Speak Louder Than Words, we would just, like, belt our little hearts out. It was just so great. And then I got to do it in college, and it was so magical.
That's so great. I don't feel like that happens very often.
No, I did it myself. I produced it myself.
Oh, that's right.
Because I was not cast in Rent, which is what they were doing as this musical my senior year. So I was like, screw this. I'm going to put on Tick, Tick, Boom then.
I also did not get cast in Rent my senior year.
We got a lot of bones to pick with the people, college casting of Rent.
It ended up being fine. I had too much else to do that semester, so I would have, I don't think I would have passed any of my classes.
Burning plays.
Burning
plays. Putting plays in a fire.
A lot of bonfires I was setting all through campus. The library was like, rude. Where did Shakespeare go? And I went, check the quad. Check the smoke signals.
You're such a little bitch.
You'll see that balcony scene just floating up. And
oh my ashes. God, not the balcony
ashes
scene.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Oh, right.
Is that Shakespeare? No, that's a
nursery rhyme. What's the matter with you? Okay, so that was amazing. Highly recommend Tick, Tick, Boom.
Yes, on Netflix. Watch it now.
And then let's get to the, we did the good, let's get to the bad. We went to the movie theater and we saw House of Gucci.
I want to just preface this by saying you really wanted to see this.
I really wanted to see this. I mean, what gay person does it? Lady Gaga.
I was interested in seeing it. If I missed it, I would have been fine. But you were like, I really want to go to this with my gay boyfriend. I'm like, okay, this is important to you. Let's go.
You know, some part of me really hoped it was going to be some elements of Devil Wears Prada meets like, I don't know, maybe that's naive just because it had the word Gucci in it. But I thought it maybe meets like the campiness of Death Becomes Her or something. Like, I didn't really know what to expect. I just know that I was excited for Gaga. I mean, Gaga in a film, Star is Born did not disappoint. That was a great movie. You know, she doesn't do a lot of movies. So I was like, this must be really great. And Ridley Scott, he made Alien and Gladiator and a ton of incredible films.
I told you this when we, after the movie, but when it started and like, I was like thinking for a moment during the opening credits and being like, all right, okay, the last movie I saw Gaga in was A Star is Born, which was her first movie. And that was so good. She was singing the whole time. And I thought, she's probably not singing in this. So what is she going to be doing if she's not singing? She certainly wasn't acting.
Oh! Okay, this is where we kind of disagree because I thought Gaga was fine. I did not think she was the problem with this feature film.
I think she was one of the problems.
You think if there had been a better actress, who do you think in that role could have made that movie any better at all?
Well, the movie, yeah, was terribly direct. It was so boring.
It's almost even hard to, like, say anything about the acting because it was so ungodly boring.
Yeah. It was, like, way too fucking long. It was, like...
Two hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah, we were in that movie theater for way too long.
We got there at 6:30 p.m. movie. The movie did not start until 6:56. That is almost 30 minutes of previews.
Of just previews. And honestly, the previews were the most exciting part. And most of the previews looked like for really bad movies, to be honest. Like a lot of crap garbage. Like, I think the Matrix remake I'm interested in. There was some, like, dumb film that you were like, this is going to be so fun and stupid that you wanted to see. Something about, I want to say Valentine's Day or something.
I don't recall.
And there's something else.
I'm excited for Cyrano de Bergerac, but you hate plays. But they turned it into a musical, it seems like.
We'll see. You know, what Sondheim says, if you don't need to sing, then don't make it a musical.
Mm. Sondheim also says... Jellicle cats are Jellicle do.
Did he?
Jellicle. Yeah. He wrote Cats, Phantom, Starlight Express.
Do you think we'll care when Andrew Lloyd Webber dies?
Absolutely not. It won't even, if it even pops up on my feed, I'm going to be like, okay. Actually, JK, because I did see him in a restaurant in London the moment that I landed in London. Like, the first restaurant that I went to, he was sitting next to me. And I got excited. I got really excited. I was like, holy crap, that's Andrew
Lloyd
Webber.
He's like the gateway drug for musical theater for civilians and, like, the...
Okay, and let's be fair. I mean, I will never respect him after reading Patti LuPone's book. I'm furious with him. But I do think... When he's great at writing, he's great at writing. Like, yeah. Memory is a beautiful song.
There's some like, you know, really good pits amongst a lot of garbage.
There's a lot of bad in there.
Like, I love Unexpected Song from
beautiful,
Song and Dance.
Beautiful song.
But it's also, I know that song from my, like, female vocalist friends, is ridiculously hard to sing.
As like, Patti LuPone says... Andrew Lloyd Webber hates women. That's what she says in the book.
I know. You had me listen to that chapter.
I could talk about that book every day for the rest of my life.
You do. You do.
And I do.
I think you bring it up once a day.
Okay. So, House of Gucci was terrible.
Oh, it was terrible. I don't.
It was, like, unwatchable. Like, it wasn't even, like... Okay, Cats, the movie, was really bad. But it was, like, fun bad. Like, I would even go see it again. It was so bad.
Oh, my God.
This was, like, broke the ultimate rule of entertainment. It was just flat out boring.
Boring. It was
nothing
almost
happened.
In sepia tone, and there wasn't fun fashion, even though it was like the
Where
60s,
was the
70s, and 80s, and it was about a fashion house, and there was...
It was just so straight. Just
it
like
was
a
so
straight
guy.
Making a movie about a fashion house. There was, like, truly... I can't remember a single outfit that I even enjoyed looking at.
No. Nothing. Yeah. I mean, like, she got a little gaudy at times with, like, furs and things like that. But it
mostly,
still wasn't fun and it wasn't about that. Like, we didn't, like, love Cruella on, like, that Disney movie.
But at the very least...
But at the very least, we got really fun gags in fashion.
Yeah.
And it's campy... And Emma
this
Thompson
was
is...
not campy. And people are, like, calling it campy. I think it was maybe trying to be that.
I don't know.
But it was just so bland. Like, if it was trying to be campy, it really failed.
It really failed.
There's, like, a whole scene where, like, Jared Leto pees on Al Pacino's scarf. And it, like, everything, every single scene...
Was that Al Pacino?
That was Al Pacino, babe.
Wow. But you didn't know that was Jared Leto until I told you.
I did not know that was Jared Leto. Maybe
that, I randomly knew it was Jared Leto in a ball cap and all that business.
That's going to be a no for me, dog. Jared Leto's going to be...
Son and House of Gucci. And, oh, the accents. Everyone's accents were all over the board.
Really out of control.
Everyone. Whether Jared Leto sounded like he was in a Mario Luigi game and Gaga sounded like she was Russian, Transylvanian, then back to maybe some Italian.
And ultimately, it just was like, this is a really interesting story. When you get to the end, you're like, this is so fascinating.
Yeah, like, this story is crazy.
Why did nothing interesting happen for the first, I'm going to say, 2 hours and 15 minutes?
Truly. It didn't get good until they hired, well, we won't spoil it, but it gets good at the very end.
And like... if you know the story, I imagine you'd be really bored because, I mean, the first hour and a half is just Adam Driver and Gaga falling in love. And it's like, okay, I guess this is important to set up, but also it was so slow. Like, you just didn't, it was like, we get it. They're very in love. But she's supposed to, finding out by the end of the movie, a little bit of a spoiler, that she's like kind of an insane person.
But you're never.
It wasn't clear. The whole time you're just like, she didn't seem, you don't ever for a moment understand the decisions that she makes or what her motivation is as a character. Like, it was just really, truly one of the most boring movies I've ever seen.
So boring. Don't go see it. Don't save your money.
Don't see it, honestly.
Don't see it. Watch Tick Tick Boom on Netflix.
Watch Tick Tick Boom. Okay, let's chat Sondi Hindi.
Sondi Hindi. Rest in peace. Rest in brilliance. Rest in genius.
Rest in genius. Okay, Michael Bullard, gun to your head, what's your favorite Sondheim song?
Not a day goes by.
I'm really surprised to hear you say that.
I fucking love that song.
It's a good song.
I love it. I love when a woman sings it because there's alternative lyrics for a man for whatever reason that are a little bit more hopeful and optimistic and in love. But I love how beautiful that melody is with the sentiment being so much anger and resentment and frustration. Because the whole song is like, I'm trapped with you. I'm trapped by this relationship and these feelings with you.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
I hate it, but it's also, that conflict of it's also beautiful at the same time.
Ooh.
Like, I'm yelling, but this soaring, driving song and melody that then, like, goes back to, it's so well, I mean, every song he writes is pretty much genius and perfect, but, and then I have like a deep nostalgia of that Bernadette Peters that I show you that video constantly, but
yeah.
Her singing, it's like her like Sondheim concert song that she got. She has many that she sings, obviously. But that's like her, like, this is my standalone one that I can do till the day I die. Which
and
is
I
also
die
there.
Day after
day, day after day,
day
exactly.
After day.
And she's so such an amazing actress, the way she can just stand there and sing that and you see and feel every moment without having to be shown it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Without the commenting on it, she just like lets the song do it, but it's, oh, so good. Love that song. It's also, I'm biased because it was one, like a song that like, I think one of my first Sondheim songs that I ever learned in like a voice lesson. And so then that was like the first time I ever like sang Sondheim and got to like analyze his music and understand what was going on. I'm like, oh my God, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
This is what's happening here. Oh yeah. So that's why I love that song.
Oh, I love that. I saw Merrily We Roll Along at Encores.
Not done very much.
Not done very much. I saw Betsy Wolf sing that song.
Ooh.
And it was really good.
Talk about actor, singer, honey.
I mean, well, I would say singer, actor, but...
Singer, actor.
Okay.
I could see her, like, digging in, though, if she had
She
right
definitely dug in.
With
she,
the right material.
She was really good in that show. Yeah. And
I
really
saw
good
her
in the last 5 years.
Last 5 years is when I saw
She's great. I mean, she's... I didn't mean for that to be a dig on her, but, like... You know, the voice is what you're paying for the ticket for.
Oh, her voice
you're
is
You're paying to
exciting,
hear her belt.
Excited. But then she's also, like, really specific and really grounded and in it.
She really is. She's really,
she
really
motivates
phenomenal.
The belt. She motivates
she sure
the belt.
She sure does, honey. So okay. I saw her in that, and that was really good. The show's not done a lot because it's really hard to do, and now I'm realizing as I say this, because she did Last 5 Years as well, it's hard to do a musical that goes backwards.
Yes, but Last 5 Years goes backwards
and
forwards,
forwards
at the same time.
Merrily just goes backwards, and it's that production was so cool. Lin-Manuel Miranda was the guy, the main guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, Cilla Keenan-Bolger was in it. It was really, really good. Like, it was so good that I was like, they're going to transfer this to Broadway.
Mm.
But I think it just... You know, if you're not an artsy person, it's a hard sell for the show.
It's a very hard sell. It does well in, like, those encore or, like, maybe more specific regional theater, you know, demographic, like, ticket holder, season subscriber kind of things. But, yeah, it's a weird one. But there's some really beautiful material from it, for sure. Good
yeah.
Thing Going is also a beautiful song.
Oh, so good. You know what song I love? Hey, Old friend, what do you say? It's really, I mean, that show is heart. Have you ever seen it? It's
heartbreaking. I've actually seen my college do it after I graduated and I went back.
Oh, that was cool.
A really solid, I mean, I think it's a really solid production of it. I really enjoyed it. I understood what was going on and I loved that they got to dig into that material that's not done very much. Like,
and this was at Clown College? You went to Clown College?
Yeah, they mimed the entire
Wow! A mime production of Merrily.
Yeah, it really actually made more sense.
Okay, I love that. Okay, so Not a Day Goes By.
Not a Day Goes By. Gun to your head. Favorite Sondheim song. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Moment in the Woods.
Moment in the Woods. The Joanna Gleason's character, Baker's wife.
Yeah, I didn't expect myself to say that.
Oh, but, wow, that was like instinctual.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, the truth is, it's like that thing. It's like the episode of Friends when they ask Jennifer Aniston, like, what's your favorite movie? And she says, I think Dangerous Liaisons or something. I'm misquoting. I can't remember what she says. But then they're like, what's your actual favorite movie? Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, my God.
Like, A Moment in the Woods is like a lot of people's favorite. So I don't say it a lot because it sounds basic.
Oh,
listener,
if
you don't know what that is, it's from Into the Woods. But like a lot of people pick that as their favorite, so I don't usually say it. I try to say something like a little more unique and exciting. But honestly, that damn song.
That and Steps in the Palace, very similarly, like the introspective like female perspective that he's able to like write for and really get and then give them beautiful vocals as well as beat 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 acting and like some really like quotable lyrics back for like life lessons.
And when you said earlier he's the Shakespeare of musical theater, so true. I tried to explain it to my father who left A Little Night Music at intermission on Broadway.
My God.
And texted me saying, how dare you tell me to go see this rom-com musical? Sondheim is too dissonant. I don't like it. He doesn't get it. And I'm like, if you actually let me sit you down and like show you the things that you'd like about it and explain some things, I know he'd be obsessed.
100%.
But he just won't. He like won't do it. And what you said about Shakespeare is so true. And A Moment in the Woods and Steps in the Palace, antithesis. Like they say one thing and then they immediately contradict. And then they say something. You get to watch the character unfold the thing they're trying to figure out,
which is
what Shakespeare was so good at.
Shakespeare does. And what is human nature?
Yeah.
Like, we are constantly questioning and going back and forth and trying to find the happy middle by living in extremes. And yeah, like, that's human nature. Oh my gosh. And okay, so boyfriend pop quiz.
Oh, hit me.
What is my favorite Sondheim show?
A Little Mermaid. Memoirs of a Geisha.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Your favorite Sondheim show is A Little Night Music.
Yeah, which you had just brought up that your father walked out of, which is... Okay, so the next time we go home for Thanksgiving, I'll remember not to talk to him because of that. Cool.
I'm still mad at him about it.
Yeah.
Okay, what is Boyfriend Pop Quiz back? What is my favorite Sondheim show?
I believe it's Sweeney Todd.
That's correct.
Hell yeah. Hey. 5 years. 5 years, listeners. 5 years.
I love Sweeney Todd.
What do you love about it?
I love how impossible it is, and yet it works. It's a horror musical. Mm. Like, that's also why I love Carrie, the musical. But Sweeney was successful. Mm-hmm. Like, a major success story. Truly scary. Really unique,
song,
weird.
Tend the tale of Sweeney Todd. Terrifying. It chills.
The storytelling in that show. The thing with the beggar woman. I remember watching it for the first time and being like, this is a gag. Like, you don't see it coming. It's just... Mrs. Lovett is really one of the best characters ever written. As is Sweeney. They're their motivation so clear.
I'm around. There's some beautiful music
beautiful
in it.
Greenfinch
and Linnet Bird. What is she in? What's his face sing? The Lovers. Don't they have like a beautiful song together? Am I crazy?
Kiss Me.
Kiss Me.
Yeah.
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 And Joanna. That's what I'm
Joanna
thinking.
Is a gorgeous
Joanna.
Song.
Oh, Not While I'm Around. Oh my God, obviously, Worst Spies in London is...
so good. Honestly, up in my top... Okay, let's do our top 5 Sondheim songs.
Ooh, okay.
I will say, so my favorite moment in the woods, your favorite is...
Not a day goes by.
Not a day goes by. What would you say, what else is in your top five?
Well, actually, I love Greenfinch and Let It Bird.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's beautiful. Also, I love a soprano song that's not... Well, you never hear up-tempo soprano songs. Ever.
True.
And it just has so much more drive and questions and agency than a lot of other soprano songs. It's amazing. I love that. I think it's really smart. I think it describes... I love talking about things without talking about them. Like, she's... The birds are her, obviously, but like...
Oh, yeah. That's so good.
It's so much more enjoyable that way.
That's so good.
Ooh, like, let's talk about how you feel trapped without talking about how you feel trapped.
Ooh,
come on. And let's fucking sing about it in your goddamn head voice. Like, yes.
That's stunning. It's beautiful. When a girl can nail that song, it's really exciting.
Ooh,
theater.
Talk about, like, lyrics and lyric sopranos just getting to, like, really live their lives.
Get into it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's yours. That's two on your list. Mm-hmm. My adding number two is going to be... I know I'm getting real Into the Woods heavy in here.
Okay.
On the Steps of the Palace.
Oh, yes.
I never got that song for, like, a long time. Like, I've, you know, been aware of Into the Woods for a long time, as many musical theater nerds have been. Mm-hmm. And honestly, Into the Woods is not one of my favorite Sondheims. I think it's... I also think it's a little long.
Whenever
I see it live,
because you can see it just act one could be enough.
Could be enough. And I loved the movie actually, but the songs are so standalone, so good. And I always put On the Steps of the Palace like pretty low on my totem pole because it's just kind of, you know, I much prefer like the grittier songs, like the Baker's Wife stuff, and like. I was like, Cinderella, this character's a little frilly for me. I don't really care about this. And then I listened to it randomly on the train one time, and I stopped dead in my tracks and just kept listening over and over to, but then what if he knew who you were when you know that you're not what he thinks that he wants? But then what if you are what a prince would envision? I was like, whoa, what if he knew who you were? Like, what if he knew that you're a pauper?
Mm-hmm.
When you know that you're not what he thinks that he wants, when you know that you're not this princess figure that he has in his mind that he thinks is what's good for him. But then what if you are? But not even what if you are a princess? What if you are what a prince would envision?
Mm.
So like, maybe he's not thinking of a princess. There's so much happening. So much self-doubt that gets turned on its head into, like, a positive spin. I mean, that lyric really, it hits me in a place.
Yes.
It's so good.
Ooh, it's so good. Oh, my God. All of it. It's so good.
Okay, what's another one in your five? You got three left.
Okay. Talk about wordplay. Not Getting Married Today.
Oh,
Company.
Fuck yeah.
Come on.
Haven't even mentioned Company.
I mean, we can't mention all of Sondheim's shows, but I mean, when you watch somebody dig into that song, and just again, you kind of have to just ride the song, like, and trust the song will do the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't like get showy and overdo it because then you'll fall off the tracks.
Yeah. That song is a train that is going.
That is going, and you just have to like trust it and trust yourself with it. I saw a concert, not of Company, but like just a concert of musical theater friends, and they, you know, picked all the songs that they wanted to sing, and one of the performers said, "I picked this song. I did. No one told me I had to do it. I did. And in this moment, I deeply regret it, but we're going to do it." And she nailed it.
Oh,
she really
fierce.
Did. She really did. And watching somebody nail it, because it is such a behemoth and such a challenge, and it's so smart in that way, because that's what anxiety feels like. He literally, like, personified anxiety in that song. Like, that, like... urgency and the tempo and
the
notes that he's using, and then like these like moments where that soprano cuts in to give it that contrast. Like, that should be this celebratory, glorious day that we're supposed to relish in, but we also have massive panic and anxiety at the same time, how that manifests for people. Oh my gosh, so smart. His ability to write human nature into songs, like, yeah, and has been doing it over 5 decades. Like, damn.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, my number three. Mm-hmm. You don't know this one as well. I think I just played it for you for the first time. Unworthy of Your Love from Assassins.
Oh, yes. You did just play this for me.
This harkens back to your first choice of Not a Day Goes By, because he really is so unbelievably talented at figuring out how to write a beautiful melody. I truly think this is the prettiest song he's ever written, like, hands down. Mm. There's no song, Sondheim song you can put on that I think is prettier than this, in my opinion. And the juxtaposition of that with it is about two people writing to a celebrities that they are going to kill a president for them is so stunning.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
What a bizarre concept for a musical. Like, whether it's the horror of Sweeney Todd or humanizing people who attempted or were successful at murdering presidents.
That piece of theater is so freaking good.
It's crazy.
It's so good. And it helped me pass so many social studies tests in high school, because I would listen to it all the time and you get a bunch of history information in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I literally remember, like, passing a 10th grade social studies test because I was like, Chulgosh, working man, born in the... A lot of that music is really good.
Yeah.
Really good score. Yeah.
I've only listened to it a few times, but I don't know it super well.
We should jam out to it more in the car because it's really good.
All right, my fourth.
Yeah.
Miller's Son.
Oh, yeah. That's
especially that Leanne Larkin recording from the revival. Oh,
she is singing, honey.
She is singing, and I saw her in it.
Me too.
Oh, my gosh. She is so good.
Good, good, good.
Oh, and that song is... I mean, I'm clearly, obviously loving a lot of... I love a female song. I don't really care about men.
Hello.
Anywhere. But that one's so good. Again, it's so smart. Especially, like, considering her socioeconomic station at the time. So, like, what her goals, like, how they kind of elevate and aspire. And where they start versus where they end, like, go and where they end. And her aspirations. Oh, man. It's so well done. Again, it's like a good patter vehicle song. And that gets some belting. That gets some good classic music theater belting.
It sure does.
In the meanwhile, there are mouths to be kissed before mouths to be fed.
Ooh. Oh, so good.
So good. All right, four.
Okay, my fourth. Again, this is another basic one, but if we're just going true favorites, Being Alive.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that song is so... That's a good palatable song for people who don't know Sondheim. Mm-hmm. To be like, oh yeah, this is like absolutely genius and so amazing.
Yeah.
What more can
you say? Do you prefer men singing it or women singing it?
I don't really have a preference. I think it's like, what I love about his work is like, it's about the acting. Like, mm-hmm. when Patti LuPone sings it, she's acting her butthole off and she's belting for the gods and it's incredible. And I'm excited to see Katrina Lenk sing it. Mm-hmm. But also, like, when I saw Rollo Sparza in that production, I mean, I was sobbing, crying. Like, yeah. And he sounded great as well. And, like, the original cast recording is great. I think it's genderless song. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
True.
Yeah. All right, what's your fifth?
Fifth, I'm going to go with Glamorous Life from A Little Night Music.
Mm.
Again, nostalgia. That Audra McDonald, like, the way she... talk about a voice like butter.
Truly.
And I know it's meant for, like, a young girl to sing, but even in her 40s, Audra McDonald just steps into that, and she has that youthful glow. But also, again, that, like, human nature, it starts somewhere different than where it ends. She starts with all this love and optimism about her mom's cool, romanticized lifestyle, and by the end of the song is missing her mother desperately and just wants her to be there. And the way she sings it, again, it just, we love female belting, we do, but I also am a diehard for a gorgeous soprano. Come on, give it to me. So
I love a soprano.
Again, just so smart, the human nature, the feelings, beautiful melody.
Yeah.
And it's really driving. Over the green. There's a really beautiful orchestration right there. It's just really good stuff. What's your fifth?
again, basic, but I don't care because it's like just the truth. Ladies Who Lunch.
Classic.
That song is drag. Why hasn't that been a lip sync song on Drag Race?
Oh my God.
Wouldn't that be a gag?
They should do more musical theater, first of all.
They
and
really should. Whenever really they like, do it, it's great.
Yes, because it's more storytelling that we get.
Storytelling.
Pop music doesn't... especially if they're not dancing queens, they need to be doing more.
Storytelling and the camp of it all. Like, it's just... It's such a huge, over-the-top song that can be done so small. It's so witty. It's so well-written. So definitely that. That's like, and I remember watching the movie Camp and seeing Anna Kendrick do it.
Oh.
And you're like, this is great.
She's fucked. I'm ready. And the goddamn show must go on. Ah! And she sounds like she's on fucking helium. She's so little. She just has such a high-pitched voice. It's so fun to watch like a 14-year-old sing that song.
Okay. And then honorable mentions. Mm. How Could I Leave You from Follies.
Oof.
Also Losing My Mind from Follies.
Oh my God.
But How Could I Leave You, I think, is like the real gem of that show. Like, that video of Jan Maxwell doing, it's like some of the best acting you'll ever see in your life.
Yeah.
And then A Little Priest. I almost need to take something out for A Little Priest because A Little Priest is really genius.
The discovery that happens in that song or right before that leads into that song. Again, like where they start versus where they finish and the discoveries they make and the playful. Because also, like, it is a horror musical, but you need those light moments to be able to sustain that mood for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So these comic patter songs that are in there that allow you to keep in that horror genre, but give the audience a little sense of relief and release that tension for a minute. A Little Priest is perfect in that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. No wonder it stands out so much because it releases that tension. And then ultimately ends up raising the stakes more because then they commit to murdering people.
It's crazy.
Yes. So then the stakes get deeper and darker after this brilliant comedy song.
It's so, so well written. Yeah. And then, of course, I don't know, the entire score of Sunday in the Park with George. Like,
oh my Jesus.
So many of those songs are incredible.
Sunday.
The song Sunday, like when those chords hit, it really hits like something in your tear ducts.
Yeah.
Like it really, it's crazy the way that music like penetrates you in an emotional way. All right, what are your honorable mentions?
I mean, all of that. I'm trying to think if there's a show we haven't mentioned yet that I just like want to like say, don't forget this Sondheim. I mean, he didn't do the music, but West Side Story is really like near and dear to me because I've done it a bunch.
Love.
And I think
and
that,
Gypsy.
And Gypsy, I don't know Gypsy as well, but you know that my gay ass sang All I Need Is the Girl as my audition song for colleges. Hello.
And you know my gay ass sang Everything's Coming Up Roses at a summer stock theater.
Love that.
Okay, we gotta wrap up there, but I hope y'all listen to some Sondheim, enjoy his work this week. Thanks for listening to the pod.
Yeah.
Have a bye.
Have a bye.
Let's have a slumber party.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.